Scott McKay is away this week. Instead, we're joined by the politics economics reporter for WPRI.com, Ted Nesi. Hi there, Ted.
Hi, Ian. Thanks for having me.
Treasurer, let's start with a couple of questions about pensions, a subject near and dear to your heart. You've been trumpeting the performance of Rhode Island's pension fund, how it's up by about 15% over the last 12 months. Should you be sending a thank you card to President Trump?
Well, the pension system is getting healthier, and part of that is because we've had strong investment performance. We've made over $1 billion of net investment gains over the last year. We've also adopted more realistic and honest assumptions for the pension fund. I'd say there's a couple of reasons that we've had a good year. The first is certainly the market has been strong broadly. The stock market has.
Isn't that due in part to the deregulatory policies favored by the Trump administration, which the business community likes?
Well, I like to say it's the continuance of the Obama recovery, but, you know, apples and oranges. But also, the back to basics investment strategy that we launched a year and a half ago has been working. The implementation is well underway now. We've been moving money out of hedge funds and back to a more traditional investment strategy. And we're seeing results. Our performance has picked up relative to our benchmarks and relative to our peers. So good news all around.
People are going to have whiplash, though, because the headline in the last couple of days was that the pension shortfall is up 15%. I know that's you changed your assumptions, et cetera. But, you know, can you put in layman's terms for people so they can understand how can you be talking about good investment returns on the one hand and a much bigger pension shortfall at the same time?
So the pension fund is stronger now than it was a year ago or 3 years ago or 10 years ago. There's more money in the pension fund today than there was a year ago, and our expected benefit payouts has stayed about the same. So more money in the fund, benefits that are being paid out the same. The difference is we updated our accounting practices to make the accounting more honest and more transparent. We adopted a more reasonable set of accounting assumptions on paper that makes the liability look bigger. But if you step back and you look at the actual fundamentals, again, 15% investment return, more money in the fund today than there was a year ago or 3 years ago, and the benefits that we're paying out are stable, so the system is getting healthier.
Yet this decrease in the funding ratio of the pension fund does mean that taxpayers are going to have to contribute tens of millions of dollars more. So isn't that going to put more pressure on the state budget?
Over the long run, having more realistic and honest accounting assumptions is going to save the taxpayers money. You know, the whole reason that the pension system in Rhode Island and elsewhere around the country got into so much trouble in the first place was because we were using unrealistic accounting assumptions. Pension funds were saying, oh, well, we're going to earn 8% or 9%, so we don't need to put a lot of money in today because we're going to just earn it all with, you know, huge returns in the stock market. When that didn't pan out, Rhode Island and a lot of other states had huge shortfalls to contend with. So when you have more honest and realistic assumptions, yes, you have to pay in a little bit more upfront, but it's going to save you money in the long run by avoiding a future crisis.
I want to ask you sort of a bigger picture question. It's the end of the year. You've had this job for 3 years. You were elected. I think you were one of our youngest ever general treasurer. What's the biggest thing you've learned after 3 years in this job?
You know, it goes by fast. And we've gotten a lot of things done, you know, between Back to Basics, between our bank local program, where we've helped small businesses with access to capital. I'm really fired up about this schools project. We've got to fix these schools. We've been doing a lot to return people's unclaimed property to them.
So the biggest thing you've learned are your talking points.
No, the biggest thing I've learned, though, is that, like, 3 years goes by in the blink of an eye. And as much as we have gotten done, there's so much more that I still want to get to. It's a constant sprint.
And you're definitely running for re-election in 2018?
Absolutely.
There's been a lot of debate at the State House and statewide about whether Rhode Island can really afford to eliminate the car tax, because eliminating that will cost the state upwards of $220 million each year. What is your view on whether the state can afford that?
Well, I think eliminating the car tax is a noble goal and a very bold initiative on the part of the speaker. Certainly, it's something that there seems to be great public demand for. I have not yet seen a plan for how the state can afford a full phase out. I know that the governor is planning. I think she has said publicly that she's planning to include this year's portion of the phase out in her budget this year. So I'll be interested to see how she does that, and we'll judge it after the budget comes out.
We talked on Political Roundtable a bit about the PawSox. I have a different PawSox question for you. A few months back, your office put out a debt affordability study, which was as dry as it sounds. But one takeaway I had reading it was that Pawtucket has very high borrowing already, right? It's a very high high liabilities right now. Pawtucket Mayor is now talking about potentially doing the Pawsucks deal on his own. Would that raise concerns for you based on what your office found when you looked at the books in Pawtucket?
Well, when we did the debt affordability study, the interesting thing about Pawtucket is that they have a pretty high pension liability that they need to deal with, but their traditional debt, their traditional borrowing was not particularly high. And so if you look at traditional debt only, they do have a fair amount of capacity. They need to do some work, like many Rhode Island communities, on their pension liability. And I know that the mayor has made some strides.
So do you think they could do it on their own?
Well, I haven't seen the details of that plan. I read the press coverage of it. I don't know exactly how the mayor envisions having that work. I think the plan that is on the table right now in the state Senate is a good one. I think that is a good plan that will keep the Pawsucks in Pawtucket, that will be affordable to the taxpayers, and will help improve the quality of life and the economy for Rhode Islanders. So that's the plan that I hope moves forward.
Way back in 1984, there was something called the Greenhouse Compact. That was a $250 million plan to try and reinvent Rhode Island's economy. Your father, Ira Magaziner, was the architect of that plan, and it was rejected by voters. I'm reminded of all this by a current article in Brown Political Review. So I wonder, what kind of conversations have you had with your father about this? Has he ever said how Rhode Island might be different had this been supported? And what are the lessons from the Greenhouse Compact?
There's a couple of lessons from the Greenhouse Compact. The first is, you know, on the policy side, they were absolutely right. What they saw back then in 1984 was that the economy was changing, and if Rhode Island wanted to keep up, we would need to transition to more of a high-tech economy with a higher skilled workforce, because the old manufacturing jobs, a lot of them were not going to be sticking around. And that turned out to be right. If we had made those kinds of investments back then, I think we'd be in a better place. The good news is, I'm reminded of that saying, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, the second best time was today. There's still time for Rhode Island. There's still time for us to invest in education, in workforce development, to attract high-tech companies to move here. So I think we can take some of the same principles from back then and put them into effect today. The other big lesson from the Greenhouse Compact is you really need to listen to the will of the people. You can't just have a top-down approach to economic development. You have to make sure that you are engaging stakeholders in a real grassroots way.
Before we go back to Ted, did your father ever offer a view on how Rhode Island might be different today had the Greenhouse Compact been approved?
No, I mean, he's not the type to deal in hypotheticals, but I think he does feel, and I feel, that the state is finally starting to make some of these investments now, albeit a generation later than we should have, to try to transition to more of a high-tech, high-skill economy.
We've seen some new companies coming to Rhode Island, often attracted with sometimes fairly substantial tax incentive packages. That's been a subject of a lot of debate on the left, on the right, all over the place. What's your thought right now overall on the policy and the strategy of using those incentives to spur specific companies to come to Rhode Island or expand in Rhode Island?
Well, I think there have been some great successes in, you know, getting companies like General Electric and Johnson & Johnson and Virgin Pulse to set up shop or expand in Rhode Island. That's a good thing. And these are the kind of higher wage, higher skill jobs that we need in Rhode Island. Fact of the matter when it comes to incentives is that other states are doing it. I mean, how much did Massachusetts give to General Electric? It was well over $100 million, I believe. And the reality is that even the highly successful economic states like Massachusetts and Texas and Florida, they do this. And we have a choice in Rhode Island. Do we want to sit on the sidelines and just hope that everything will work out? Or do we want to be proactive and try to generate some economic development in Rhode Island? I'm glad that Rhode Island is back in the game. I'm glad that we are trying, and we've had some early successes.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us from WPRI.com, Ted Nesi.
Thanks always for having me, Ian.
And Rhode Island General Treasurer Seth Magaziner.
Happy New Year.